We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smart Desi podcast, where this time we are joined by my friend Brandon Patton, who is the co-founder of Evan Alexander Grooming. This is an epic brand that was launched off the back of a successful YouTube channel, which we don't get a lot on this show, and it's going to be super interesting to delve into. They're a seven-figure company, and they've grown 79% in revenue year-to-date. And by the way, we are filming this in January 2022, and it's not even finished yet. So that gives you an idea of the kind of growth that they are hitting already in such a young year. So Evan Alexander Grooming is here to help men look amazing and feel unstoppable. And Brandon himself is an expert at captivating audiences and just general bringing the entertainment. And he does that on his YouTube channel, which has 115,000 subscribers, sorry. And it was only founded in 2016. Awesome. We're going to get into it today, but without further ado, let's welcome Brandon to the stage. Brandon, how's it going?
It's going amazing. I appreciate you all for having me. Thank you.
It's going to be a good one today. Whereabouts in the world are you, Brandon?
Martin, I'm in the lovely state of Georgia, in the most wonderful city in the world, which we call Atlanta.
Beautiful. And I will second that. I absolutely love Atlanta. And, you know, if you want to welcome me back or anything like that, Brandon, you know, I'll be on the next flight, right? It's all good. We'll see how the show goes first. Don't jump back. Don't be too keen, man. Don't be too keen. All right. So the way we like to do things on this show is we like to go back and we like to learn a little bit about you and where you come from, your origins, and how that related to you becoming an entrepreneur, the time where you maybe went from having a boss to being the boss. If you've got a time in mind, could you take us back to that time and paint us a word picture?
Yeah, I would say when I was crossing that particular bridge was 2000. It started back in 2009. And I've always wanted to get my hands into music. Somehow, some way, had always been the thing. And due to the fact that I stuck to a script that was already built for me to create a sense of security, which, you know, you graduate high school, go to college, get a job, that story, right? Which is nothing wrong with that. I think that that's honorable. But for me in 2009, I was hitting a breaking point to where I began to get further and further away from that particular nest that I learned, that particular that I was able to extract that that plan, if you will, of what my life should look like. And so one day I was just like, man, I really want to get into this music and try it. An opportunity came. I was able to go back to school for audio engineering. And at that point, that just kind of just got the ball rolling. And it really got my confidence up to have the courage to go out and do something different versus what I was doing, right? Yeah. The norm. And then that ended up parlaying into a production company called, you know, that we call Scoop Life Production, where we were selling merch. This is about 2011, 2010, 2011, we started selling merch. We were doing, at that particular time, mixtapes. We were doing production, music production. And that really was just the third strike, if you will, where that kind of opened everything up for me in terms of this level of independence, if you will, where I'm able to make that transition from my 9-to-5 to my lifelong journey, my lifelong mission to help 3 million men in this particular space, as it has to do with grooming, men's grooming, and things of that nature. And then from that point on, long story short, because I could be a little long-winded, I started several different businesses in between this current business and when I initially started. And that was just my journey of learning from, you know, you know, I've been rock bottom where I was working at Verizon. So after I had started the Scoop Life business, that went under. I had a party bus. So I was just trying so many things. And so eventually I ended up getting to a point to where I ended up heading. I went out to LA and lived out in LA, didn't really know where I was going to stay. Didn't have any idea of what, you know, life would look like. I just knew that I needed someone to help me on my entrepreneurial journey. But I know I needed to surround myself with people who already had been down this particular path or were on that particular path.
Sure.
And so that's what I did. Packed up my car and took my talents out west. And from there, you know, I went through a series of not having any money. My car got repoed. I ended up I became homeless at one point. And then my cousin, she was just kind enough to allow me to come and sleep on her couch. And I shared with her, I said, hey, you know, I just need like 2 to 3 months to get on my feet. And 2 to 3 months turned into about 2.5 years. But that entire time I was building Black Men's Beard, which is our YouTube channel, our community. And that pretty much just started to exponentially grow. And that just created a whole nother avenue to open up a marketplace at that time that we called the Black Men's Grooming Den, because a lot of guys were asking me, like, hey, B, like, you know, you're showing me, you're teaching me how to groom, but what are the tools, right? You're showing me how to build a house, but what are the tools do I need to build the house? So at that moment, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, they want more from me. They actually want to purchase products directly from me. And so I was able to, I had a community, but also I was able to reach out to some Black owned businesses that were selling products. I was like, well, why you guys don't know these businesses exist? Like, you know,
yeah.
There's a ton of businesses that are making great product and doing some amazing things. And so then from that point on, I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead and be the bridge, right? Bring the community that I've built, these businesses that are having challenges to find the actual customer. And I just be the, you know, I'll be the middleman, if you will. And I created the marketplace, the Grooming Den. Now, for that particular time, you know, I didn't really take, I think my commission was like 12%, but I was producing 90% of their sales.
Mm.
So I'm taking 12%. So 12% is not a lot of money when you got Shopify fees, credit card fees, PayPal fees, app fees. And by the time you get down to your fee, you know, you bought at 0.0001%. But again, I was building this particular infrastructure through that particular time. I was building everything up until the point to where I moved back east here to Atlanta. Got with my business partner. I said the same thing to him. I said, hey, man, I need like 2 to 3 months so I can get back on my feet. 2 to 3 months turned into a partnership, a business partnership, and a very successful business partnership that it became. And we began to work on Evan Alexander Grooming, which currently that's where we are right now. And it's been growing exponentially ever since.
Man, what a story. So I have some follow-up questions, right? So you went to school, you did the audio engineering qualification, and you then applied that to your first business. Were you in front of the microphone, or were you like producing the sounds literally? Did we hear you on those mixtapes, or were you behind the scenes making the mixtapes sound great?
I was like 99% behind the mix, behind the sound. So you might hear me 1% of the time, but you may not. You have to have the ear to even hear me, because I was more like I would do some background vocals just to add. But I was never which is always interesting, because I was always trying to push other people forward onto the stage to be the star. And I ended up
being the star, right? Being the star.
Absolutely.
Sweet. So and so then in like true entrepreneurial style, perhaps like pursuing the sort of shiny objects, you said you had a party bus, like, you know, it's very, very It's almost a cliche amongst entrepreneurs, right? We have so many opportunities, we want to pursue them all, and we end up like building a bunch of half-finished bridges and we don't finish any of them. And then we learn with maturity to be like, fuck, I'm going to stick to this. And twice you've sofa surfed. First time was 2.5 years of free rent or cheap rent. The second time turned into a business partnership. So, I mean, like, you know, is Joey as well? Is he your business partner, Joseph? So, I mean, Joseph, like, there was a hell of an ROI there on his sofa, right? So you started this YouTube channel, and these people in your audience are responding to what you're teaching them, and they're saying, okay, that's great, right? You're showing me how to groom my beard and other things. And by the way, those of you just listening, you are missing out on Brandon's fantastic beard. I'm looking at my own beard in the thing, and it just looks like some patchy receding thing compared to Brandon's full beard going on. Like, honestly, there isn't a patch missing. Good job. You should make a YouTube channel on it, right? You're clearly an expert. And from there, you married up with Joseph to launch your own brand so that you weren't having to tolerate these 12% commissions, which, I mean, it's a great way, right? It's a great way to sell other people's products, to learn the art of selling and so on. But like now, finally, you're selling your own products, which is huge. So how do you bridge that gap? I think this is something that's important and interesting for e-commerce brand owners. Like, I know e-commerce brand owners that hide behind like a pen name, right? Like a pseudonym, you know, they've made up someone that's launched the brand. I would advise wholeheartedly against that, folks. You miss out on so many opportunities. You miss out on founders' stories. You miss out on the transparency that the consumer desires and needs nowadays. You miss out on so many things by doing that. Don't do that, is what I'm trying to say. But then even the people that they are the founder and they've reluctantly put it on their LinkedIn channel and they're looking over their shoulder thinking that someone's going to steal their business in any second because they're being public with it, they're still not taking advantage of that community building. What strikes me is that the community you've got with Evan Alexander Grooming is really, really important. How did you nurture that and really begin to introduce this brand and then make that a part of the YouTube channel and make it all interconnected and so that everybody feels comfortable?
Literally, how I integrated myself was I was like the doctor, right? Like with the doctor's always on call. No matter what the situation is, no matter what time it is, no matter what holiday season it is, the doctor's always on call for the most part. And that's essentially how I played my position, to be on call. So I would be up 2, 3, 4 in the wee hours of the morning, because we had people that were over in Ireland, the UK, like, you know, there was a time difference. And so I would be on Facebook and I would find people. I'm like, hey, you know, I see you have a beard, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm helping men with beards. Is there any way I can assist you? So I would DM people. I would message people. I was really, on my boots on the ground, me actually going and talking to people. Like if you were outside and you're trying to share people your business, nobody's going to come if you're just going to sit there and wait and meditate. You're going to be meditating for a very long time. You know, you're going to have a clear, your mind going to be clear, and you may be able to reduce some of your anxiety. But in terms of being able to grow a business, you have to actually go out there and put yourself in front of people and let people know I'm here to serve, right? Which is key. That. And I think that for me, I came with that. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm actually here to assist you and help you in what you're doing. So I came in I was very compassionate, if you will, where it's saying, oh, okay, well, this is the issue that you're having. Okay, well, what can I do to assist you? Who can I link you with that can help you? Maybe I may not have the answer, but I probably can find somebody who does, and I can point you in that particular direction. So I really made sure that I was a person of service at all times, no matter if we were on Snap, we were doing Zoom lives, we had our Facebook community group. I even was reaching out to influencers. I was asking them questions like, hey, like what type of content you want to see? What are some of your biggest issues when it comes to your beard? So I was just engaging and trying to get as much information. And then as I was creating my videos, I would create videos every day, YouTube videos. When I first started, it was every day, nonstop. I did not quit. I even had people, they were like, I had one guy, he flew from Seattle to come and visit me one day. And he was like, man, I thought you was, I thought at one point you were going to quit. He said it was amazing to him how creative I was with the ability to continue to create different types of videos around beards. Right. But again, that was just my, I knew what I had. After you had so many businesses, you know, you had a lot of reps, you already kind of understand, okay, this is it or this is not it.
This feels like something. Yeah.
This is it. I know this is it. It has all the ingredients for it to be it. Now, all I need to do is be the chef and make sure that I concoct and mix that well, where it tastes delicious and it tastes delicious to everybody, not just myself, right?
So you're the doctor and you're the chef, right?
And the chef, the doctor and the chef, right? Right. The DC. So that was my approach to actually building a community and really making sure that they knew that I'm here to serve you.
Well, I think that's phenomenal. I think that's so, I mean, I want to get into the creativity in terms of YouTube channel in a second, but I think the fact that like your niche is something that's visible in the Facebook profile photos is so cool. Like I'm assuming here, but like getting yourself integrated in the various groups where your potential customer might hang out, reaching out to them. Maybe I would get a DM from you saying, hey, bro, your beard is patchy as fuck, I can help you. Something like that, right? You know, I imagine you, like you said, you're more compassionate and helpful than that, right? But being able to it's right there, right? You could actually target, it's a manual process, sure, because there isn't a targeting option like profile picture contains beard, that'd be great. But just one-on-one, like reaching out to people and helping, that's, you know, that's such a great way. And they say like, once you've helped 1,000 people, right, you've got your army of 1,000 raving fans, that's where, you know, businesses really boom, because you only need less than $100 per person per month and you've got your $1 million business, right? And that's only from 1,000 people. Okay, so that's really, really cool. And anybody in the audience who has a brand whereby it's possible that what you sell is on show in a Facebook profile picture, maybe that's something worth checking out, or on Instagram photos and so on. Going on to the YouTube channel, like you said, like this guy sort of complimented you on the ability to stay creative and to be producing compelling, entertaining content daily about a section of your face. Let's be clear, right? Like we're talking about a third of your face and you're finding new ways to keep that interesting and engaging. Can you tell us a little bit about your process there for how you come up with like content ideas and, you know, to keep it fresh like that?
Well, a lot of it would come from my community, right? They would leave comments. Well, how do you do this? Or what about this? Or, you know, and all I would do is just take those particular comments and then I would create content around that, around the things that they were curious about and interested in knowing and how to improve their beard. So that was really what, you know, how I was able to find pieces of content. You know, there would be things outside of that I would, research and I begin to have a greater understanding. I think for me, what set me apart, one, no one was talking to Black men at that particular time. Like no one. And so that was white. I saw it. I was like, oh, this is a white space. Now all I have to do is really go in here and dominate that space as quick as possible before somebody catch on to what's going on. And so being able to get these questions from this particular community, I was every single comment. Oh, how do you do this? What do you do this? Where can I find this? I create a video, create a video, create a video, create a video. And from each video, that's just allowed me to stack more and more pieces of content where we created over 500 videos since 2016.
Amazing. And so we're in 2022 now. What's changed for YouTube creators now? If someone wanted to launch a channel today, is it still worth it? And if so, how would you go about it? Or how would you go about it if you were going to launch a new one today? Maybe an eyebrow channel. How would you go about doing that?
Yeah, I would, you know, I would go in and be I would still be an industry expert, right? I would definitely go in as an industry expert. I think if you're starting, you have to prove yourself. Like, why are you, you know, why should I listen to you? So you have to establish your expertise. I think that's very important. And then as you're establishing your expertise, people are going to start to trust you and they're going to start coming back to your channel. And then at that particular time, you can decide if, hey, you know what? Do I want to create a content where I just do a show, like a live stream show, and bring people on and just answer questions? It'd be tough to do a live show about eyebrows if no one trusts you or know that you have any information, you know, any, if you specialize in eyebrows, no one would know. So you have to share with people how can I grow my eyebrows back? You know, what are the 5 mistakes that people make trying to grow their eyebrows back? Don't do this when trying to grow your eyebrows back. Right. So you have to create that particular value before people trust you. And once people trust you, then you can move on to the next stage. And then now you can start expanding. Like if you want to do a live show, if you want to do, if right now what's trending right now is that people are doing these pieces where they're just commenting on other people's content, right? So then now you become an expert. Now people are going to start sending you content to where you can go and do a side by side and start to be to comment on, you know, on those particular pieces of content. So I think the first things first is you have to build that particular trust, and you have to show your expertise, because you can tell me you can paint a house, but if you can't show me that you painted the house, then more than likely I'm going to pick the person who has proof of concept that they not only just painted the house, but they've done a really, really amazing job at it.
Of course. And what about in terms of platform, should we say? So right now there's YouTube, you know, there's TikTok, there's Snapchat, there's others, Vine, Disrupt, Twitch, lots of video platforms, right? Jumping out. And I'm sure there'll be a Clubhouse for video very, very soon if there isn't one already. Would you still do it on YouTube?
I would do TikTok.
Do you TikTok?
Yeah. If I was going to choose a platform, I would choose TikTok and it depends on your niche too, right? Like some niches some topics can go, like you can really take your, it can grow within a year where you can get to 100,000 in a year. Then some platforms or, you know, spaces in the market, it may take some time. Everybody is in their own lane, right? And they're going to grow at a different rate. So I think that depending on if a person is trying to get like super growth, if that's their objective, then I would say go with TikTok, because that's going to give you the best organic growth currently right now.
But it might not be as connected and trusted as, and like your subscribers have heard you for hours and hours and hours, right? The bond isn't there on TikTok, but if you want the numbers.
Yeah, good, but style. If you want to go to YouTube, you're going to have to talk about something that's hot and trending, like in order to really get into that particular space, or you're just talking about something that's very unique that people need, that people are not talking about, in order to really crack that particular space. So it really depends. Like for beard and men who are suffering from hair loss and things of that nature, which that's what we talk about a lot. I was able to talk about hair loss and due to the fact that I had already created a community of guys who trusted me. So then now they're trusting me with this particular topic and so on and so forth. So for anybody, like I said, I have a friend who I shared with him. He was doing the YouTube and Instagram and all those particular things. I told him he's in lifestyle, men's lifestyle. And I told him, I said, these things are great, right? Like, you know, I'm not telling you to quit, but if you really want to leave a mark, if you really want to take advantage of this opportunity to really put yourself out there and people and thousands of people will know your name and who you are, You need to go and be the man on TikTok. I said, they already got men's lifestyle brands on YouTube. Like they already, that's already been tapped. Instagram, that's already been a tap market. I said, the one market that had not been tapped is TikTok. No one had done it at this particular time. Now this is January 2020. Now, what is it? We are back. A year later. He has over 550,000 followers on TikTok. So, and he's
your
always,
advice. Your right, advice
right he's down always there, saying, right? "Hey, I appreciate you for sharing that with me." I was like, "Yeah, if you want to be the man in whatever in that space, you need to go to a space that no one has dominated yet, and TikTok is the space that no one's dominated." So then, what he was able to do was leverage TikTok. To go on, now his YouTube is growing. Now his Instagram has been able to grow exponentially because he's able to use TikTok as leverage.
Beautiful. And in terms of the actual content, not like what you're saying, but ways to sort of keep it engaging, to keep it in line with what the community on the each platform expects. I think a lot of people, myself probably included, would overthink that. We'd be thinking about the right cameras, the right lighting, the right rhythm, the right hook, and, you know, the storyline, da da da. But you're churning out, I don't know if you still are, but you were churning out videos daily. How much emphasis did you put on the sort of whatever you would call that stuff? Yeah, like the stage, and how much would you put on the content?
I didn't put. That wasn't my priority. My priority was to get as much as to dominate. My priority was to create momentum. My priority was to get my face in front of people as quickly as possible and as often as possible. They needed to see me. They needed to hear me. That was my objective. I was like, I'll come back and it's kind of like this room here, my office here. When we got to this office, none of this is here. The walls were not blue. The shelves were not here. The pitch, none of this was here. It was just a white office. It was just all white walls. It was really bland. But what we did got us here. Now, once we got here, now we can take our time. We can put photos on the wall, put a shelf, color the walls and paint the walls and things of that nature. Yeah, you can do that when you, at least this is what my take was. Once I get there, then I worry about, you know, how to address it up. But until then, I'm not there yet to even think about how it should look. My thing is to create momentum. Now, everybody's different, you know, and how they approach that. But I think people can appreciate when they can see you at your start, when you don't have nothing, where you're just like, phone in the hand, you're in the grocery store, which was my first viral video. I was in a grocery store. It was like a two minute and 50 second video, X, Y, and Z. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't prepared or anything, but I was inspired by an experience that I had in the store. Because I had an experience in the store with someone who was trying to grow a beard, I wanted to share that particular experience. And the videos that I've done well isn't the ones that are, you know, we have some really nice videos on our channel, but the ones that have done really, really well are the ones that were very authentic, very raw in the moment.
Beautiful. Okay. So you have your YouTube channel, which is very niche, right? Black Man Beard, right? That it's very, very niche. And now you have this e-commerce brand that does beards, but it also does hair loss, skincare, supplements, bath and body, and oral care. I'm reading it. That wasn't from memory. I'm reading it, right? You've branched out. You've expanded. You've niched up. Could you tell us a little bit about that transition? Was that smooth, or did that take a little bit of time to be like, hey, audience that I've been talking to you about beards with, today we're going to talk about skincare or supplements or teeth?
Yeah. It was all organic, right? I think that with me and my business partner, you know, we experienced a love of hair loss, right? So, you know, when we were, just like when we were trying to grow our beards, right? We went out there, we sought the information, and we came back to give the information to our community based on our experience, based on our own personal experience. Same thing with me and my business partner, Joe, we dealt with hair loss. So we went out, got the information, figured out, okay, how can we, how can we help ourselves? And we went through that process. And once we were able to help ourselves, then now we can go and help other people through our own story. So we were able to tell that particular story. So that was a really great transition. But even before then, people would ask, okay, hey, you know, you have any tips on hair loss? Well, what do you think about these deodorants? Or what do you think about, like, they would begin to ask
clues were there. Yeah.
Inquire about more and more things. So that helped because they were already asking. Now, you know, for me, I'm what I like to do is, if I'm going to talk about something, I want to actually know what I'm talking about. I'm living it. I don't really like to talk about things that I don't live. It doesn't resonate, at least for me, it doesn't resonate well. So I'm able to tell a story from that particular point. And then the same thing when we got into all natural organic deodorants, same thing. Hey, you know, I stopped using deodorants. Deodorants that have chemicals in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I veered off of that particular path, and I started using all natural organic deodorants. And so I'm able to tell that story.
Your story. Let me tell
everything.
That story,
yeah. Everything that we've done, we've been able to tell a story. There's a story that's connected. If it's, hey guys, you know, my anxiety, I was diagnosed with telogen effluvium by my doctor. I was diagnosed with two different types of hair loss, right? I don't know it's not too many people who say that they've been diagnosed with two different types of hair loss at the same time. But telogen effluvium, part of that was my stress levels. So we end up incorporating our product, which is called ashwagandha, which is a stress adaptogen. Again, being able to tell that story, right? Implementing minerals and vitamins. So we have our supplements, being able to tell that story. So for the most part, all the products that we have, we're able to tell a story. Hey, I got ingrown hairs. Oh man, you too? Well, let me tell you the story about my face scrub and how it's been helping me to reduce and even eliminate my ingrown hairs. So then now I have a peace of mind. So again, everything is attached to a story. And I think the story is always going to be important because people want to know, well, okay, how did you get here? And people listen, like, people love stories. They love a good, they love a great story. And I have a video on TikTok that I did. It's like it's a little over 2.5 million right now. And it's just my story on my hair loss experience. So, you know, I think that's for us. You know, it comes off very authentic when we're able to just to share our own personal stories on why we began to use these particular products and why we offer these products. And even hearing other people's story and hearing them talk about things and their own pain points that we can really bring up and share and reinforce, you know, how this product would help a person in that particular position.
I love that. And I'm sure like you said, like humans, we love stories. We learn by stories and just keeping it really, really organic, really, really authentic, telling your story and those that relate to it, they really relate to it and really resonate with it. I mean, that's amazing. And, you know, it's keeping it simple, but in such a powerful way. So for those in the audience who they want to learn more, they want to, you know, get their hands on your stuff. How can they do so?
Yeah, if they want to learn more, they can go to evanalexandergrooming.com, evanalexandergrooming.com. And that's where, if you want to get your hands on the products, we got our blog. We have videos. If you if you're looking for videos on how to improve your beard, your skin, your hair, and things of that nature. So that's where you want to go. If you're looking for content, you can follow us at Black Men's Beard and Evan Alexander on Instagram, Black Men's Beard on YouTube, on TikTok, Evan Alexander on TikTok and Black Men's Beard on TikTok. If you're looking for, if you're on any of those particular platforms, you can find information as well too there.
Beautiful. All right. So at this point in the show, we like to mix it up. We go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can choose the speed in which you respond. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Are you two thumbs up for that?
Yes, absolutely.
You've got to show me the thumbs, man.
Oh, show you the thumbs, yes.
There we go. All right. Question number one. If you ever had to start again, how would you make your money? And you can't say sleeping on sofas, on couches.
if I had to start again, how I would make my money, I would I would create a subscription. I would create a subscription on the content side, and on the business side, right? Selling products. That's what I would do.
Nice. So subscription, so people can subscribe to get the education that you're giving them on whatever the topic is, and then you've also got the products, which would be some sort of maybe consumable product, so they can subscribe to those as well.
Yep.
Nice. And you'd be a doctor and a chef again?
I'd be back doctoring and chefing it up.
Nice. What's the most common or biggest mistake leaders make?
Wow. Not understanding that. I think that not letting go. I think that's entrepreneurs, you know, not letting go.
Delegating type thing.
Delegating, not being able to, you know, it was a struggle to let go of things and delegate things that I have been doing for so long. And it became so close to my heart. I became so intimate with it. It's like the little kid who doesn't want anybody to play with their toys. Like, no, I'm the only one playing with these particular toys. And so for me, that was very tough to delegate and trust people with things that I have been doing for years, and we've been doing it at such an exceptional level. And I think that's tough. That's a tough process to go through, because you have to actually they have to go through the process that you went through, and you have to be patient. You have to continue to train. And you just have to continue to encourage those particular individuals with whatever project that you've delegated to them.
Beautiful. How do you identify a good business partner?
Wow. Well, my business partner, we were friends for over 7 years prior to, but I remember Joe, my business partner. I never forget this. I met him through a mutual friend. So this one evening, me and the mutual friend, we're in Atlanta going out. This is about 11:30 at night. Going out. Okay, cool.
That's when you go out. Yeah.
That's what you do. You go out. It's a weekend. So we're going out, and our mutual friend was like, "Hey, I gotta stop and drop something off to my friend." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." So it's down the street from where we're about to go out to. Fine. And so Joe comes out. And I'm like, what? Hold up. He's at work. He's working at 11:30 at night. He met us there. So he was just starting to get back into work. He was 21 at the time. So he was in real estate at the time as well. So for me, when I looked at that, I was like, wow, this guy is different. He's a different person. It wouldn't be surprising, or no one would even bat an eye if he was like, "Yeah, I'm going out Saturday. I'm going out on a Friday night." Everybody's like, "Okay, cool. Have a great time." But he wasn't. He was in the gym. He was putting in work. He was in the office. He was grinding at 21 years old. And at that moment, I was like, "Oh, this guy is special. He's different. He's somebody." And mind you, I'm about 6 years older than him, right? 5 to 6 years older than him. So I've seen a little bit more at that particular time in my life, and had a little bit more experience to be able to identify young people and know, oh, you know what? They have something special because they do this. That's something special. He was doing something that 90% of 21-year-olds his age were not doing.
So you spotted that work ethic and sort of nurtured that over the years. Absolutely. And then eventually there was that time was right for, you know, "Hey, do you want to be my business partner on this?"
Absolutely. And that's how it happened. Went from he'd be going to work, I'm still working, he'd come home, I'm still working, and he'll give me some advice. "Hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?" And I started thinking. I said, "Well, have you thought about this, us being business partners?" And that wasn't really, beers wasn't his thing. I mean, he's super successful at this particular time in real estate. And this is what he's been doing for a majority of his working career. So for him to even come into this particular industry was a huge step. But again, it comes down to His ability to be focused, his attention to detail is unmatched. He's the plumber. You know, he's the plumber, and I'm more of the, just give me the top line numbers, but he needs to know, you know, where, you know, what's going on, where all the pipes and things of that nature. So that makes
the architect partnership. You're the architect and the doctor and the chef.
Absolutely.
I love that. What's one of your proudest moments?
Wow. Well, wow. I would say, man, today was a really great day. So my son, I just got my plaque from YouTube, right? So we just got the plaque.
Boom.
Passing over 100,000 subscribers. Nice. And I show my son. So me and my son, we talk every morning. He's 12 years old. And we're talking and he's like, hey, you know, I show him the plaque. And now my son is very mild manner. He's like, he's not, so, you know, nothing really moves him excited. He's just like, yeah, dang. Especially dad, his father. He's like, yo, dad, son, I got new shoes. I'm like, oh, cool, dad. Hey, listen, I'm doing this. Hey, listen, come to the office. I bring him to the office. He's like, oh, okay, cool, dad, that's really cool. Like, you know what I mean? He's just like very laissez-faire. But I showed him the YouTube plaque. He was like, wow.
Nice.
He was just ecstatic. And that was a really proud moment for me.
Wow, it's such a recent proud moment as well. That's amazing.
Yes, indeed.
What daily routines do you have, whether they're morning or evening, that have helped make you more successful?
I would say making sure I go to the gym. If I don't go to the gym, something is missing. It's like, you like, oh, wow, hold up. All right. Are you left-handed or right-handed, Martin?
I'm right-handed.
So if you're right-handed, it's just imagine you waking up and your right hand was not functioning or your right hand wasn't there. You'll know there's something off right away, yeah. Right? And that's the same thing with me. If I don't get to the gym, then it kind of disrupts my day. That's one of the things that I need to do. I need to get in there and really make sure that I'm checking that off my list. Another thing that I like to do, there's an author by, his name is Cal Newport. And so he talks about managing your time and, you know, things of that nature, being more productive. So he has this time blocker planner that's really handy as well that helps me to be productive and to make sure that I'm constantly staying on task and target. So those are some of the things I make sure I take my time writing those particular things down, what I need to do for the day, reviewing it, what I need to do for the day. Nice. So, you know, I go through a routine of making sure I'm eating my apples and almonds and have my berries and strawberries. So I go through that moment. You know, I have a podcast. I listen to Valuetainment over there and, you know, just to kind of get warmed up in terms of my business mind. And so those are some of the things I like to do, my routines that I like to do when I get up in the morning.
Beautiful. I love that. I've written that down as well. So Cal Newport, he's got a planner. So it's not a journal. It's more like a planner, like a time, like a scheduling thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. He has about four or five books, I believe. But Cal Newport, absolutely. Yes. He's a person. If you want to be a high productive individual, I would say, you know, definitely listen to that particular, listen to him. He has some really great pointers and tips.
Nice. Well, whilst we're on the topic, what books or other books have changed your mindset or life? I can see a few of them behind you right there. Copyrighted Secrets, I think. So the
you see the copyright.
Yeah, Russell.
You see that Scale Up is a really great book.
It is. Yeah.
Scaling Up.
Vern Harnish. Yep.
Yeah. So that's a great one. But I'm going to tell you the one thing out of all these are all great books, but I would say out of all the ones that really changed my life, is a book called The One Thing.
Yes.
You had mentioned it in terms of being an entrepreneur. A lot of times we are always creating projects that are half baked. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just part of being a creative, being an entrepreneur. We see opportunity. We want to go and do. Right. That's the book that changed the trajectory of my life because I had several different businesses and things that I was doing. And that I would always recommend that book for an entrepreneur.
Amazing. What advice would you give your younger self?
The advice that I would give my younger self, be more courageous.
Yeah.
Be more courageous.
What does that mean? Like in this instance or for you?
What that means is that whatever is going on right now that you want to do, go do it. Go do it. Like it's going to break the status quo on what people expectation of you, but that's okay. Because once you go out and do it, and they see that you're successful at it and that you're in a space to where you're safe and you have security, oh, they're on board. They're on board. They're on board. Yeah. That would be the thing. Like, cause then I would, that can get you starting early. You can start things early and start to figure out what you like, what you don't like, and things of that nature. So I think having courage in the face of those who love you, right? It may not be encouraging you to go that direction, but I guarantee you, you're going to find something that you didn't know about yourself. And down the road, people will begin to gain an appreciation for that particular courage.
I love that. And it's so true. And I imagine when you're on that sofa in LA and you're like, right, I'm going to be a YouTuber. If you'd have told people about that, they'd be like, seriously? Seriously, I'm not sure that's going to get you off the couch. But now you look back and you're like, hey, here's my YouTube plaque. They're like, okay, that was a pretty good decision. Well done, Brandon. I'm on board. Can you give me tips? Yeah. And it's so true. And I love that. Just being really, really authentic to your, whatever it is that you're calling, like the thing that you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm really, really headstrong about it. I love that. What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Oh, sparkling water.
Yes.
Drink more sparkling water. Now,
yeah.
Sparkling water got silica. It's going to help make your hair stronger. And you know, that way you keep your water, keep your hydration up.
I love that. I did not know that. I mean, that might be the tipping point there, Brandon, for me to drink more sparkling water. I've done it in the past. I like sort of mixing it with some kind of like fruit or something, you know, like fruit flavors. I call it squash, but I know that doesn't translate so much. It's stateside, like squash. It's like a cordial. It's like undiluted fruit juice in a way, but not. I didn't realize until I like asked for it over in the US and had someone just like stare at me blankly. But it's a thing. It mixes well with fizzy water, as we would call it. But like that. That's a great, great, great suggestion. And then that brings on to the final question. What makes you happiest?
Wow, what makes me happy? You know, that's always a challenge, because it goes ebbs and flow, right? But what I would say is what is very fulfilling for me, what has been very fulfilling for me, and the reason why I position that way, because you know, you can always be doing things that are fulfilling, but not always be happy.
True.
You know?
Yeah, I get that.
So during this journey as entrepreneurs, we all know that you on this journey and it's fulfilling, but you have moments where you're not happy. you're not happy. So many things start to go through your mind. Like, oh, should I be doing this? Should I go here? You know, there's a lot of things that may be going through your mind at that particular time. But if you can stick with the things that are fulfilling and you have your, I have different buckets, right. Of my life. And one of those is my my bucket of being fulfilled, and I find things and I'm always trying to put myself in position and surrounding myself with things that's going to fulfill me in life. And I think that, you know, when I look back on that, you know, I have a sense of gratitude when I'm able to look back on the thing that I did, the things that were fulfilling and not so much necessarily what made me happy, because for me, that may be a moment of happiness, which I think, you know, you definitely should do things that make you happy. But I think when you do things that are fulfilling over time, it's kind of like, you know, the difference between short-term strategy and a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
And I take the longer approach to make sure that I do the things that make me fulfilled. And the thing that makes me fulfilled, which is there's many things. One, the business that I'm in, being able to serve men around the world, literally, that's very, very fulfilling. I get excited about doing that, creating content, helping them out, helping being a guide. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that I had a guy, I was at the barbershop, right? And one of the guys, you know, this was actually last week, and this gentleman came up to me. He's like, "Are you? Hey, you be with the beard?" right?
You're a celebrity. Can you sign this?
His mind is blown, right? He's like, man, I never thought you would be here. What are you doing here, right? So long story short, he was like, yeah, man, I've been watching you since I've been a freshman in college. Now he's married, right? He's out of college. He's married. He's like, yeah, me and my wife, we watch you, man. We greatly appreciate you. So when I hear those particular stories, that's very fulfilling. That lets me know, even when I'm not feeling the best at that particular moment, I know that I have a duty, right? Yeah. That I'm here to serve people. No matter what I'm feeling, it's just what it's about is it's about them. It's about helping them and assisting them on this journey. And that's why I set out on this journey to do that. So, you know, once I'm able to identify the things that fulfill me, I can get through those days where I may not be at my best, and begin to find that spark, right, of joy, that spark of happiness, because I can go back to that story, that memory, that experience that I had with that gentleman. I saw his eyes light up, his face light up, and knowing that this is something that him and his wife, his family watch it. You know, they're watching his content. So I'm like, you two are, you could watch, there's a lot of pieces of content that you all could be watching. There's a lot of great content out there, a ton. You take the time out of your day to watch my content. So absolutely, I have to make sure I show up.
Amazing. That is an absolutely beautiful answer. I love the idea of fulfillment being long-term happiness. Like happiness is short-term, and like fulfillment is like the long-term variety of happiness. And that's a great way of looking at it and thinking, right, what is it that fills my fulfillment bucket? And I think that's a question that everybody listening right now, you should take a couple of minutes to ask yourself that, and then maybe shoot Brandon a message to tell him what it is. And if they want to do that, where can they get hold of you?
So, the quickest way, one of the quickest ways, emails is definitely a great way. You can Brandon at evanalexandergrooming.com. But if you want a more intimate type of experience, then you can always reach me at 424-299-0582. That's my phone number. So you can always text me. Of course, I'm on different social media platforms. So if you are on, again, as I shared with you earlier, hey, if you're on Instagram, Black Men's Beard, Evan Alexander, any of those particular platforms, you can DM us. We have tons of DMs, so just to let you guys know, we always have a roster or a rolling number or count of DMs, about 100. So it does take us just a little bit to get through those particular DMs. However, we do get to our DMs. If you are on YouTube, YouTube would be a little bit more challenging just based on the platform itself. You could go to the community tab, but that may not be the best place to go. So DMs on Instagram is going to be the best. You can text or you can email me. Those would be the best ways to get in contact with me.
Wow. That is the first time on this show, and we've had a lot of guests. It's the first time a guest has given their cell phone number out. And I think that really works as a great bookend to the start of this, where you were talking about how you're just wanting to serve and you're reaching out to people, being really, really personal in their inbox. And even now with the successful business, the 115,000 subscribers and the YouTube plaque, you haven't forgotten where you've come from, and it's still like, hey, you can text me, here's my number. That's amazing. Brandon, you're an awesome dude. You're a humble dude. It's been an absolute pleasure peeling back the layers of the Brandon onion today and just learning and hearing about your intriguing and authentic story. And it's no surprise that you've been successful. Keep doing what you're doing. You've smashed it. And thanks so much once again for your time to share with us today on the show.
Thank you, Martin. Appreciate that.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all, and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.